Good evening, everybody. I don't even know what day it is. No, it's 1 a.m. It's February. I'm going to go with 17th. That sounds like a good day. It's Saturday. The Olympics are in full swing. It's still Friday night for most of us, let's face it, especially on the West Coast. People that might still be listening when I post this. It's late Friday night. It's been a heck of a week and a heck of a day. And I got so much to say. Been on the phone with a few people asking me what's going on. I just heard the news about all the indictments of the 13 Russians. It's Friday the 13 Russian day. Somebody threw some clickbait up there about Friday or Lucky 13, Friday 13. It's Friday 13. Well, I've heard but not read the indictments. I'm going to actually read the indictments for everybody. Let me do that. It hurts my eyes to read, but I'm going to read all that documentation because it seems to be that important. But let's go off of what I've heard first. So, the IRA, the Internet Research Agency, whatever, some fake Russian company in St. Petersburg, Russia, was all up in there. That's like Silicon Valley. That's like the San Francisco of the former Soviet Union. San Franciscan, or Sanfrenia, whatever that is, that's where they were doing this operation. We got 13 of them. Supposedly, it's really intriguing how we got all this deep intel into this Russian troll farm, essentially. It's certainly the most visible Russian troll farm that we know of. It's putting names and locations and computers and stuff. It's putting that all, by the way, I'm driving right now and it's late. It's like 1 a.m. on a, you know, Friday night, Saturday morning. And some guy just tried to change lanes into me and didn't realize and see me. Now, I didn't get into an accident because I'm paying attention. So everybody pay attention out there. It's always a good idea to watch everyone around you. Now, let's get back to what we were talking about, which was what? We're talking about indictments. We're talking about Russian troll farms. We were saying that it's just me. I was saying that on this Ken Braverman podcast that we handed out all these indictments for Russians trying to support one candidate over another in our elections and create fake, like fake organizations, like fake nonprofits and stuff, always seem to be associated with the GOP and not the Democratic Party. I don't know why they're only abusing the GOP, at least visibly here. Why are they impersonating GOP? Why are they trying to convince Republican voters? Why? Because they were trying to get them to support Trump? Because Trump's their guy? Is that why? Or they just hate Hillary? Was this all nothing but hating Hillary? Is it all about hating Hillary? And why you got to hate Hillary so much? Because Hillary is a threat to you somehow. That's really what this is about. Basically, choking off. And this is not going to be about Russian geopolitical stuff or Russian money. That's too boring for everyone, even though it's kind of coming out and this is the basis for everything. But I don't want it to be about that. So I'm going to move on from that. But that is kind of what it's all about. I would like to bring out the tool that Putin has used to try, if he was successful, which he was successful in the election getting Trump elected, but if he was successful in turning Trump into his extension of a dictator, basically, if Trump became Putin's buddy and was a complete dictator over America, and Putin controlled America through Trump, you know, if that totally happened because Trump owed him so much money and whatever, I don't know, all this nonsense that could in a scenario, in a future scenario of the world where it's a horrible place. It's kind of like Back to the Future 2. You know, Biff runs everything. If Trump wins, he becomes a dictator completely. And he's the Biff of America. If we were able to do all that, well, the way he would get there would be by destabilizing all of us so that no one, you know, good people could not unite against Trump to get it together to take him down. Because he just keeps firing everyone everywhere all the time and cutting off, you know, the good human career people in the government. If that's really what, how he would get there. And he would sow this discord among Americans saying, like, how, you know, like, if you really have all these people that are so pro-Democrat and pro-Republican, or Democratic or Republican, and you really create these huge divides and you have these unjust elections and all these things, and everyone hates the process, which is kind of where we're at right now. We're so disgusted. Why can't our congressmen pass laws to stop, you know, semi-automatic weapons from being sold to mentally ill people who are threatened to become school shooters on Facebook? Why can't we get our congressmen to do that? Why does the NRA have their complete control over all of our representatives? What is that all about? Why does that suck? Why does our 1700s age era, 18th century political system not work anymore? What has done it to that? And how do we create this discord? And it happens by, it happens in a way where you categorize people as liberal or Democrat, and you just throw out keyword terms, you know, talking points, and you never have a real discussion with anyone. And we have this argument in the media or on social media where we really don't get to sit down and have a discussion. Now, the personal story that kind of drove me in this direction on the podcast today about how Putin wants to sow discord into our society. He wants to use his needle and puncture us with unjustness that drives us insane and makes us fight our neighbor and fight our family members because one person supports Trump and the other one doesn't, right? He wants to do that and hurt us all, right? Which sucks. Now, the thing is that even though, you know, some homeless guy is trying to ask me for money right now in Miami. I'm not going to run him over. I would have just run him over if I ran a green light, but that wouldn't be nice. So I don't know. By the way, I'm assuming he's homeless. He might have a home. You never know. Back to what we were talking about, sowing discord and stuff. I have tons of friends, families, friends, all kinds of stuff that are pro-Trump and many very pro-Trump. Yet, when we all sit down and have a discussion and talk about things, especially now, all of a sudden, everyone's getting along more, okay? And what I mean by that is, because we are aware of this uniquely, this is a 2016 election thing, this is a uniquely polarizing president, we're all kind of aware and walking on eggshells that we may be encountering a belligerent person in the other political direction anywhere we go, okay? So now, a lot of us have done something that I've done my entire life, which is why I recognize this. And it's kind of funny that I was next to kind of a homeless drug addict-looking degenerate person as that came to mind, which was, when I'm around crazy people, I make sure that I am not intentionally trying to piss them off. I make their lives easier. I buy their Philly blunts at 7-Eleven when I'm ahead of them in line. I make sure that I don't intentionally upset or inflame. So I'm kind of in a defensive posture to begin with. And I think that the political climate has gotten so toxic that we're trumped out, basically. We've exhausted our Trump endorphins for life. And we are all like permanently on this defensive now. And we just kind of want to get along with people. Like, we don't want to have a political fight with our mother-in-law every Thanksgiving, every 3-day weekend that we go take our infant son to go visit, you know, the in-laws. I don't want to have a discussion about DACA. I don't want to have a discussion about, you know, about Melania, about porn stars in the present. Like, we're so sick of it, right? So what it has done to us, I think I've been experiencing this. I had this happen today, eating lunch with somebody, with my grandpa, one of his old ass friends that he sees when he goes out and eats at the same place every week. That's what you do when you're old. Yeah, when you're like 90-something and you don't cook, obviously, because you're 90-something, you go out and you find other people who are 90-something who go to the same, you know, the same, I'm not going to say an establishment I don't trust. Char Hut is where we go. Char Hut is phenomenal. Char Hut is not a huge chain that I know of, but they're excellent, and they make everything fresh in front of you. So we're at the Char Hut, And there's a guy there, and he's in his 90s. Here's another homeless person that I got to avoid running over. Wow, Miami's a real mess. Boy, oh boy. If ICE is supposed to be deporting everybody, they haven't gotten everybody here. Oh, this is a dude on a walker. He looks like he tore his ACL playing for the University of Miami, though. Anyway, sorry, I keep going back and forth, but I'm driving. Apologize. It's Kent Braverman podcast. Sometimes you have to record. Now, this is the first time I've recorded since the shooting, too. God. That's another prime example that's actually more of a positive. So I was driving around. How many minutes are we into this? We are already 10. That's fine. I was driving around. Oh, there's an ambulance. Where do you want me to go? Boy, this is a really active city, isn't it? I tend to get lost, especially when I don't turn on, you know, the navigation. And when I'm doing a podcast, I decided not to have navigation on. I tend to get lost in interesting places, which is a fun way to live. Now, let's get back to a second. On Wednesday, right? Yeah, Wednesday was Valentine's Day, right? Yeah. So I was driving around and saw a bunch of cops peeling off and going in a certain direction. And there was weird stuff going on the radio because people were calling radio stations and saying something about a shooting or something going on. But nobody knew, and the police were not reporting what was going on, and it kind of all becomes apparent after the fact when you think about what was going on. But yeah, I was within about, I don't know, 10 miles of where that shooting happened at that school, and I actually drove there after it happened just to see what was going on, which is exactly what you're not supposed to do. Because, you know, I'm just some, you know, passive, ridiculous onlooker, but I wanted to go before it was announced what happened, because I wanted to know what the hell happened. Kid goes in there and shoots people and then pretends to be one of the bank heist movie with Clive Owen, where he then people pretend that they're part of the crew, but then they walk out with everybody else. He does that through the mayhem, gets away, but then instantly gets taken out because he was a known quantity. He was known, the guy was nuts. And the only positive things I've seen come out of this tragedy has been people uniting and talking about gun control in a way that I don't think I've ever seen it this aggressive, even after Sandy Hook. And it's just kind of like, we're all so sick of it. I think one of the reasons why everyone's also so united to do something is because this was a known quantity. Everybody knew that this was going to happen looking back on it. And even before looking, you know, when the kids that were being interviewed after the shooting were not surprised before they'd even made a formal announcement who did it. The kids were like, yeah, it was definitely that guy. I mean, they were naming him before the police were. That says something about a person's demeanor and how they are seen. And if the only problem with the only thing that's in between that person killing a bunch of other people is the act of him getting a gun, how can we not tighten up our laws and have the kind of aggressive background checks that the Trump administration was trying and has been trying to implement for the travel ban stuff, like bringing in people from different countries, and the kind of background and social media combing through that they want to do on everyone who supposedly is coming here is absurd and ridiculous. Yet, however, that is exactly what you need. We need that on the level where everyone is monitoring that, and people who are looking dangerous like this, what do? With them, we put a boot on them, put a monitor on them, we come up with some chemical that notifies the authorities whenever this person gets in control of a loaded gun, gets within any proximity of a loaded gun and could potentially use it. I mean, what are the type of things we need to do here? Well, I don't know, but I know that we have right now, and hopefully in perpetuity, the emotional capital to force our representatives, who are being torn in many different directions for multiple reasons. But one of them is that we don't want them being torn in is the direction of assault weapon gun rights for people who are 19 years old and want to kill everyone. Yeah, you know, I saw an interview with the lawyer representing the people who have the gun shop that sold him the AK-47. And they're not coming out of their house, people that own that store. And they're also probably not going to reopen their store ever, as they know they're done. And they should be done. You know why? Because you're in a business of selling something that kills people. And I know the laws are not favorable right now. However, when you do sell something to a deranged kid and he kills everyone in your neighborhood, yeah, that's a mark that's on your store and your family for the rest of your lives. Because that's the business you chose to be in. How about we start drowning gun sellers in a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo so it makes you almost impossible to sell your guns to everybody? How about that? If your guns are going to be used to kill all these people, let's make it extremely difficult for you to sell guns in this country. And then if we set up an illegal market where people are moving it back and forth, then we raise the crimes on owning and possessing an illegal gun and making it a mandatory 5-year felony to really put people away that are going to do us harm. And then do you think we're going to have this problem? Yes, we're definitely going to still have school shootings. You know how many we're going to have? Less of them. Because the kid won't be able to get a hold of the AK-47. Instead, he'll drive his car into something. He'll go in with a knife. He'll come up with some new way that we haven't thought of yet. And that is going to kill fewer people. And for some reason, I guess it's better if he goes in with a knife and kills 3 people instead of a gun and kills 17. And we don't, it'll be on the news for the next 48 hours or more. I think in some weird way, you have to do a calculus saying we have to try to limit the destruction that deranged people can do. Here's another interesting thing about this. Supposedly, the eyewitness accounts of talking to Cruz, talking to Nicholas, is that he is remorseful now and he's probably schizophrenic, I'm guessing. That's my armchair diagnosis on this one. Voices in the head, does things without, with like forethought, but also without regard for human life, and then just goes on with his day going to McDonald's. Like, what did he think was going to happen? Yeah, whatever mental illness it is, it doesn't really matter, right? If someone's out of control and is going to kill people, it doesn't matter how you classify them. It matters how you contain them. So I think we're too many years away from some type of biological test to really determine your mental stability that you're able to take when you're going to purchase a gun. Because, hey, you know when you don't want to sell somebody a gun? You know when they found out that their spouse has been cheating on them? You don't want to sell them a gun within 24 hours of that? Within 48 hours of that? You don't want to sell them a gun 6 months of that? You don't want to sell them a gun? Of course not. Now, how do you do a background check for that? And the answer is with a fine social media comb, you can find a lot of information about that. However, you can't find everything. And we don't live in this crazy world where robots can do everything for us and predict everything yet. We're getting there, but we're not there yet. And I actually feel bad for the gun owners that sold the gun to him. They didn't want him to freaking kill anyone. They're just trying to make a buck, and maybe they're gun enthusiasts. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. However, clearly this is unacceptable. Killing close to 20 people because you're nuts. And you can get your hand on a gun that's easy to use and can kill a lot of people is not acceptable. What are we going to do about that? Well, how can we have somebody like that not go out and legally buy a gun? How can we do that? Is it the AK-47? Do you ban the AK-47? How about every AK-47 has to go through a check every time it will fire? That was a crazy idea. I was trying to do some type of electronic monitoring device on a gun, but people would just learn to bypass it and there's all the guns that currently exist. That won't solve it. Do you want to make it a crime to buy an AK-47? I think the answer to that is actually no. I don't think it should be a crime. The problem is who, right? Who are we giving the gun to? He didn't steal the gun from someone else. He bought it legally. What was wrong with him? He was 19, 18 or 19? He was expelled from school, or was it the process of having disciplinary actions at school that doesn't just start when you're a senior? If you're expelled from school and you... What if you've ever made a threat on social media that you're going to shoot someone? Should you not be allowed to own a gun? How about that? That seems draconian. However, there were signs he was going to go shoot people. Why shouldn't we be able to do something about that? I think that owning a gun should be more difficult than maintaining or having a driver's license. And I do not know what the requirements are for having a gun, but I believe it's not much. And I think that if you're gonna own a gun, especially an assault weapon, we gotta categorize these things. An AK-47 is an assault rifle, it's an assault weapon, it's something that should really only be used in a closed area or in a hunting scope. Why can't you hunt with something else? I don't think you need to hunt with that. What's wrong with him that we can't sell one to him? What about other crazy people that want to buy guns? I'd love to attack the gun issue by finding a way to prevent guns from being into the hands of these people. But I don't think you can do it that way. I don't believe that it's possible, especially with 3D guns, 3D printed guns, sorry, that are already a reality, but they're not distributed to everyone. And the knowledge isn't totally being streamlined or manufactured everywhere yet. But that's out there. I don't think there's any way to stop guns from existing and potentially getting into the hands of those who shouldn't have them. The only thing we can do is monitor. And then how do you... Oh, God. It's so difficult. I don't know. At what point should they have taken Nicholas Cruz into custody before he did this? The answer is, in a perfect world, right, if you had monitoring him at all times, I don't think he had a phone on him, but if he did, and the phone was totally tracked, and the audio and video were going on it and everything, as soon as he grabbed a gun and went out of the house and had the phone, could the phone know that somehow? Could the phone know that he was grabbing magazines, extra magazines? Could the phone predict that he was going out on a shooting rampage? He was going shooting somewhere and could have automatically alerted authorities because he was already on a list for being a little nutty. That's the thing. You can't just arrest people and lock them up forever for just being a little nutty. We're all a little nutty. Not all of us are that nutty, but we're all a little nutty. So he's got to be on a list to begin with. Then it's all right. Anytime this guy's doing anything with guns and his phone recognizes it, or the monitoring we have on him recognizes it, then alert authorities so we can get some type of streaming video, some type of monitoring going on. And then maybe in a perfect world, when he loads up all these magazines and grabs a gun and leaves the house, we already got a cue that he's leaving the house, and we send officers on our way to literally track him on a location dot, you know, and find him, and as he's heading toward a school, of course, you're not allowed to bring a gun anywhere near a freaking school, so the minute he gets to your school grounds, they just take him out. Take him down. That would be the perfect world. Sounds like a complete pipe dream, but in the world of 21st century monitoring, where all of us have devices, doesn't just have to be his device that picks up on this. Anybody who's walking by as he's walking outside has a camera and it's on him. And it picks up a gun through some type of... We got metal detectors all over this. Can we just have some type of... Can we have like lasered... we have lasered metal detector type things or gun detector type things that are just ambient in the atmosphere, you know? Like, can you shoot a laser and allow it to, like, could you walk through like a laser beam and it would tell whether or not you were carrying a gun? I don't know. But if you think about those, if you had those out in public and you didn't, they were invisible or something, then we would get an idea of who's carrying what just in the general public all over the place. There'd be a way to do that. I don't know. I'm bouncing around nutty ideas. I don't know. I don't know how to solve this problem. I feel like we all kind of have to live in fear that it's just hope it's not us. And I had a dose this week of it being very, very, very close to home. And I didn't see anything, so it doesn't hit me hard enough. I just saw a lot of kids outside and a lot of mayhem. So we all just hope it's not us. Well, we got to take some steps, and I think there's some unity in the general populace. And there's some unity that we haven't seen since before the election, since well before the election. The whole goddamn campaign was so awful. So I think that in a lot of ways, I'm sensing that we want to work together as Americans, and we're seeing that there are reasons for us to want to work together. And the two sides that have been so polarized are realizing that we can't live this way. It's not what America was founded on. And it's not who we are. That's the thing. Like, that's the whole point of the whole point of the podcast was, I had two instances today where one Trump supporter I know was rubbing my back and we were hugging, and another guy I just met who wanted to a guy in his 80s or something, who wanted to classify me as a liberal, but he couldn't tell because of the way I was talking, and I was too confusing because I was throwing both sides out of my mouth the way I do. And he couldn't classify me as a liberal, so he couldn't hate me automatically. And the conversation we had ended up finishing with us saying how much we both hate, how much we both despise the ignorant way of classifying one side with a nomer, you know, with a liberal, Democrat, whatever, right, left. And that how if we all just sat down and had more extensive discussions on the issues, that we would all find common ground and work these things out. And he's clearly, I won't label him, he's clearly a man who favors the conservative point of view more often, but he's obviously a man of greater intelligence than that. And so having those experiences in tandem, along with the indictments being released today of who our real enemy is, gave me some pause, and I was relishing in America first winning. Not America first in the Trump sense of America first before everyone, but like Americans wanting to make amends with Americans, which is what I think what we need. I don't know. I sense a wave of that. I even saw on Rachel Maddow today when I was listening to her. She was, oh God, I wanted nothing more than to listen to Rachel Maddow today. Oh my God. I was so excited. I was like getting in the car. Like, I got satellite radio. I got to turn on MSNBC. I got to listen to Rachel Maddow. She is just the best thing. My 94-year-old grandpa loves Rachel Maddow. He's like, where's that woman? Is that woman on? Kenny, is that, you got that woman? She doesn't even know her name. He's like, that woman, she's good. We were listening to her. He loves the way she explains things. So she's on tonight, and she said, I was supposed to go on vacation. She's like, I was on the Long Island Expressway, and I was heading out of town, and I was with my girl Susan, because she's a lesbian, she's got a girlfriend. And she's like, and I was, maybe wife, I don't even know. She's like, I was going to go out of town with Susan. She always blames that she's got to go back. She said, nope, 13 indictments released. Bob Mueller's releasing indictments. I got to go back to work. And she turned around, and she dropped Susan off, and she said, hey, honey, we can scissor later. I got to go to work. And boom, she was in there, and she said, okay, I came back here today because today, for the first time in a long, long time, for the first time in a long time, as she listened to Rod Rosenstein/Rosenstein, announced the 13 indictments of the Russian co-conspirators to defraud the United States, that she felt like someone, like the government, that someone was standing up to what the Russians had done to us. For the first time, she felt that that was the case. So, it's pretty amazing. And I don't think I'm getting pulled over. No, the cops just are pulling somebody else over. I'm not texting. I'm just talking. So for the first time, I'm just pulling somebody else over. Yep, got somebody else. And that guy does not know how to slow down. This could be interesting. Why do I always see these crazy things? Yeah, that guy's probably getting a DUI. And I can talk into my phone, look like I'm texting and not get pulled over. Hey, hooray for being white. That's what that's all about. No, they can't even see me at night. How can I even say that? Okay. Back to Rachel Maddow. She said for the first time, somebody was fighting for us. And, you know, the truth is, of course, Mueller's been fighting for us all along. The FBI's been fighting for us all along. But she saw some palpable evidence of the counter cyber intelligence operation that was really going on, and how we're not asleep at the wheel, that just because Trump took over does not mean that all the intelligence agencies of the entire country have turned into The Apprentice. No, of course not. We're still acting like America. And yeah, the deep state, if you want to call it the deep state, it shouldn't have a negative connotation to it. The deep state is deep America. It's lifelong government employees that we all know in our daily lives, at least the people that live around Northern Virginia know, but everybody works for the government. A lot of people work for the government. They're your family and your friends. Like, everybody you know is somebody works for the government somehow, usually. They're good people. Those deep people that have been in it for a long time, that's the deep state. Like, that's what they're talking about. Those are good people. So it's nice to see, yes, they're doing something. It's awesome, they're doing something. And I see it too, and it's nice to see that. I think if we can all come together and have these long discussions about what's happening, we're gonna come through it better than we were. Because, for example, we could never have done anything about gun control in a climate under Obama, believe it or not. Because Obama was going to elicit a reaction from a contingent of the public that is very heavily in favor of guns. It's not necessarily a bad contingent, but they're going to spark, it always would have sparked this reverberation back that he never would have been able to do anything. Trump, as a president, could do something because nobody's expecting him to take away guns. So, in a lot of ways, things could be done now. And I suspect that especially after the next election, which I don't think is going to get rigged, we're all becoming too apparent of what's happening. And you can see it in Alabama with the Democrat, Doug Jones winning in Alabama in a state where he should not have won. People are fed up with what looked like the Republican Party that used to be a party. Now they're half owned by the Russians or more, and they're not even a real party anymore. And that's why the Russians are impersonating them. That's why the Russians are creating fake companies and calling them GOP-10. Because they own them, and that's not okay anymore. So I think things are going to change, and they're going to change in a sweeping manner. And I also think that we're all going to come together, because there won't be right, left, and Republican, Democrat fighting. It'll be, we're America. It'll be the American Party, which the Democratic Party will essentially morph into the American Party, because it's going to have to become more and more inclusive as everyone vacates the Russian Party. You know, I think that's kind of what you're going to see. So that was a Ken Braverman podcast, and I haven't been pulled over yet, and I'm almost home. I'll give you an update tomorrow.